Well, hello and welcome to Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. We're so glad you're joining us today for this. Listening in whenever it is, we're glad that we can take this time, this opportunity to help you to follow Jesus in the real world, to live as though he is real and relevant because he is. And what a great privilege it is today to have my friend, the chairman of the elders board at Cloverdale Baptist, and someone who is probably the best leader I know to join us. Lee, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
It is a delight to have you. Now, my understanding is not only will you share a little bit about your heart for God's Church at Cloverdale, but also how we can be those who accomplish mission. Now, what makes you capable of sharing that with all of us? There's two things in my mind that make you capable. The first is your character. You're a man of God. You love him. You have integrity. You lead with loyalty to God and his word and his church. And you give self-sacrificially for that, of your time, of your talents, of your treasures. You're an amazing man for that, and I appreciate knowing you. Now, don't let your head grow too big. Also, you have been a great leader, both in industry and in the church. And as you have shared with me numerous times, there are similarities between the two, differences, but the similarities make you a great leader in the church. So maybe share with us before you get into this, what did you do when you worked in industry?
I worked virtually all of my life in the telecommunications industry, and I started it at the bottom and through a variety of different jobs in marketing and sales and engineering. Eventually became vice president and general manager of a company in China for Verizon Telecommunications.
Did you learn how to speak Chinese?
I did not.
So communications, but not in Chinese.
No.
But had lots of Chinese people working for you.
Very poor communicator in China.
And who is your business partner?
I can't tell you that.
Henry Kissinger, I'll tell you. Was it really a secret?
No.
No, that's allowed. In that role, you learned some excellent leadership skills. You've shared some of those with me. In our church, you give incredible guidance to us. You seek to help us to honor God, to accomplish the mission he's given us, to stay on that mission. It's not always easy to lead cats into following a mission. So I'm wondering if you can help us today with five steps to mission accomplishment. I think you've reviewed these with me. I think they'd be helpful for each of us, not only if we're giving leadership to a church, as you are, as chairman of our board, but also just if you want to make a change in your life to accomplish a mission. So maybe tell us, what is a mission? How do I understand that? And then how do I become one who can take steps to accomplish that mission?
I like to think about a vision and a mission. And to me, a vision is what could be, and a mission is a heart commitment to lead you to fulfill that vision. And so we talk about them interchangeably, but I think they're different. And my step one in any leadership would be to have a vision, to imagine the future, understand what the future might look like. And the best place to start is probably to ask yourself, what has God placed on my heart? I think the Holy Spirit works through us. And inevitably, the Holy Spirit will direct us to something that touches our heart. It may not touch all of our hearts. And therein lies leadership, because you need to be able to explain that to a number of people and bring them alongside to share a common vision.
So your common vision is a preferred future. Your mission is what drives you to accomplish that.
That's right.
So if you wanted to give me a one-sentence definition of mission, what would it be?
As I would look at, the vision may be for people in Cloverdale. The mission would be developing a heart for, a program for, a leadership team for, exercising that vision and making it happen, to bring it to fruition.
Accomplishing that mission and vision. I love it. Lee, can you help us with what are the steps that you would give us to help accomplish mission? I think so often, at least in my own ministry life and even in industry, not only in discussing with you, but also other people I know that have been great leaders in industry, sometimes it's easy to have a great mission statement and even to have a preferred future, a vision, but very hard to actually move to accomplish that. I've seen lots just kind of go up in smoke after you've had your mission statement set up or your visionary desires to be accomplished. So how do we put practice on that?
I'm a strong advocate of putting your mission or your vision in writing. I think writing helps you to identify and clarify that vision. And so I find as I'm writing out what I'm thinking, I'm constantly changing the words to be more descriptive. The other thing that's very important as part of building a team and a vision that a team can follow is to collaborate early. bring other people into the visionary process. Don't bring it to the team and say, here's where we're going. Allow them to have input. Allow them to be a part of it.
Have you ever told me that before?
I can't remember.
Repeatedly. As you can probably hear, Lee is one of my mentors, one of my key mentors in vision and mission accomplishment.
When you're being recorded, you need to be very careful.
That's right. Now I'll have you in my head all of the time, not just sometimes. Okay, so what are the steps then that we can take to be those who accomplish God's mission for us, maybe as leaders, but maybe just even in our own lives?
I think it's important to equip yourself. You need to apply the skills that come to you naturally, and you also need to learn skills, skills of strategizing, planning, delegating, executing, and one of my favorites is developing measures. If you can't measure it, it may not be worth doing.
That's another one you push me very hard on. Okay, so if I can just kind of sum these up, become someone who dreams. What is God's dream for me? What does God want from me? Where is my preferred future? And then start to write those dreams down in a way that I can understand them, in a way that maybe I can continually clarify and define and be specific about, and then make sure that I'm growing in skills to accomplish that and to write it in such a way that it's measurable and something that I can actually pursue, something that's attainable. Is that kind of sum up what you've said so far?
Exactly. And always remember to bring your team along with you. I think oftentimes we try to run ahead of the team.
Now, could we argue team as family as well?
Yes.
Would that be fair?
So this works in every walk of life.
So communication, and that was what you were very skilled at in industry, and I think here as well at the church. It's just so important to be constantly communicating and joining and listening to and engaging in your team, whether that's your family or your friends or at your workplace or at your church, to accomplish what God desires.
I think servant leaders do very well at this.
Yes.
Because if you have a servant heart, it just becomes natural to you.
I think that's to try to
find out everybody else's point of view and bring it to the table and share them and work on the plan together.
Yeah, I think you're right. And if we believe in the consistency of the Holy Spirit, there's a unity that comes when we do those things that can be found because we're all in line with what God wants. And I think sometimes listening can sharpen off your own bad word, stupidity. Your own mistakes can be sharpened off by listening carefully to others as you start to put that vision that God wants to have
exactly.
in place. Excellent. Okay, what's next? So I've dreamed. I've got this thing. I put it on paper. I'm learning. I'm gaining skills. I've put it in a way that's measurable because what doesn't get measured doesn't get done. I think you've said that to me 1,000 times. What's next?
Well, I think intentional delegation with clear, measurable goals. Again, I can't overemphasize goals. If you don't have a goal, you're already there. You've achieved it.
So it's like drawing the target on the wall after you've
exactly,
made the shot. Yes.
And then carefully choose people that will be faithful to the vision. Seek buy-in on the expected outcomes. So if people are at the table early, they tend to be more committed.
They own it much better.
Yes, and they feel a sense of ownership because they participated in the creation of the plan or the program or whatever else it is you're putting together.
So now you're building a group that is moving towards your desired outcome, your dream.
That's right.
I think that's so important. And then helping them engage with their own spiritual gifts, their own desires, their own longings to accomplish that.
The best leaders that I've worked with are people who are good facilitators. They can bring people together. And it's difficult to recognize the leader at the table because they've so enthused everybody that everybody looks like a leader.
I love it. So you're constantly actually bringing out the best in people, not just telling them what to do, but producing in them a desire to be all that God wants them to be and then using what they bring to the table. Almost sounds like Ephesians 4:11-16 a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. One of the things that you have done for me, I think raising a family, my father is an excellent industry leader as well. I think one of the things that you constantly say and consistently say, and I think he's modeled as well, is that there are a number of overlaps between being a great leader in industry with integrity and being a great leader in the church, because those principles that God has put in place, you brought up so many of them, having that clear vision, being a servant leader, engaging others, making sure you're listening carefully. They work well in both places. I think the difference, obviously, in the church is you have the Holy Spirit at work in you, and then there's a unity theoretically that will come and a humility that should already be there.
Early business principles came from Judean Christian ethics.
Yeah, it's so true, isn't
it? And so many of the former business, now I won't say today, but in days gone by, were heavily influenced by their spiritual position.
Yeah.
And you saw the fruits of that. And I think America, North America, has seen a tremendous blessing through industry and the early Christian Judean ethics that they practiced.
I agree. I think one of the sad things for me sometimes is that we separate good practices from the church, thinking somehow they're secular, where the best practices actually came from the Bible and have been put in place by godly people.
Exactly.
And obviously, if you get a crooked person in the church or in the culture, you create chaos. But if you have a godly person in the church or the culture, the principles that they follow will be very similar. And so again, we want this preferred future. So we're conscious of our dream. We put it on paper in a way that helps us clarify and define it, and then we're specific, measurable. We're learning skills. I think that's important. You've emphasized that. Now we've engaged others. There's this intentional delegation that you've encouraged us to be a part of. What's next?
Then you become a force for execution. You need to believe in your vision and your plan and the outcome, and reinforce the importance of your vision. Constantly reinforce. Constantly bring your team along, and don't delegate to others what you're not willing to do yourself.
I like that. I think this one, especially in the church, is super important because we're moving volunteers into a vision, and sometimes it's easy to get distracted by what the world's narrative, or also just things happening in the world. And so if we realize how important it is, if we become this force of execution, we engage others into this vision, and that's the only way it can be accomplished by us together. Even in a family, I think this is important, because if it's just the father or mother, whoever's holding the force of influence in that family that's doing it, you don't actually accomplish anything long term. So this constant reminder, I love that. Lee, anything you'd add to this?
When I had an opportunity to retire, I had the opportunity to retire early. And during my career, I was very busy working long hours and not serving God to my full potential. And so God gave me the opportunity to put that aside. And Cloverdale Baptist Church opened up some wonderful opportunities for me to serve. And I think I've learned more about servanthood since I started that end of my career than I did in my former career. And I remember living in China at the time and coming to Canada and arrived and had a couple of thousand employees that worked for me in China and hundreds that worked for me in Canada. And coming home and coming to the church and asking if there's anything I could do. And they gave me the opportunity to paint a hallway.
I remember that well.
and I thought, you know, isn't this wonderful? Like God is teaching me servanthood before leadership, and it's so important. I think if you want to be a leader, start small. Paint a wall.
I so appreciate that, and I appreciate it in you. I think it's one of the great things you've taught me among the many things you've taught me is that when you see a need, we have a joke around here, at least those who know you well, is if you see something that needs to be done, just share it with Lee and wait a day, and it'll be done. I think really from painting walls to seeing people grow into Christ-likeness, that connection— you are someone who sees what needs to be done and then engages in it. And I think that's one of the things that makes you a great leader. It's that servant heart, willing to do whatever it takes to move forward the vision of making disciples for Jesus at Cloverdale Baptist Church.
And that's why I close with don't delegate to others what you're not willing to do yourself. You know,
yeah.
If it's to be, it's up to me.
Yeah, I like that. What, say that again. That was kind of cool.
If it's to be, it's up to me.
I like that because it's not up to me then, it seems sometimes. You know.
And surrounding all of that is your great love for the Lord. I mean, at the end of the day, you ask yourself, who do I do this for? And if you're doing it for the Lord, you'll find happiness like you've never imagined.
You know, I think that's a key, at least for me. Sometimes I get tired of ministry. Sometimes I get tired of serving. I've often said I want to be the most mature person in the room, meaning the greatest servant, the one who is the most gracious. Sometimes that's tiring because sometimes people aren't easy to lead. And if you remember who you're doing it for, if your foundation is that I'm here to glorify God, I'm here to serve Him, He's given so much to me, that becomes possible and you can be steadfast, immovable, always giving yourself to the work of the Lord, for you know your labor is not in vain.
Yeah. And if you make yourself available, there's always a place to serve.
Yeah, you tend to find those very quickly. Yeah, I think so appreciate your servant heart to God and to His church. And the way that you are a great leader that engages others and always willing to do extra and always willing to serve those in need. That's the other thing I've noticed about you is it's not only the church that you serve, it's people in need. I've often seen you the first and last when someone is in deep need of emotional help, physical help. I've seen you building, restructuring entire rooms for people who have had bad accidents and replacing bathrooms and stalls and cabinets and floors. And I appreciate that about you, that servant heart and desire also to be wise in how you lead the entire thing. Lee, I just want to sum this up again, just so people can get it in their heads in kind of an easy, manageable way. And then I'll turn it back to you just to say anything else you want to Cloverdale Baptist Church. What I've heard you say, be a conscious dreamer, have a preferred future that you believe to be what God desires. See it clear enough that you can put it down on paper and refine it more and more, clarify and define it, be very specific, be measurable. Learn as you're going to develop the skills that are necessary to be a good leader. Learn to delegate and strategize and plan and execute. Be intentional, you're fourth, in your delegation and engaging and communicating with others so that they engage as well. I think that's so important in terms of Jesus' call for us as a church. And then become a force of execution. Don't stop. Keep moving towards that vision and help others to understand and apply it as you move in that direction. And always remember that you're a servant and make sure that you're willing to serve in such a way that you don't delegate to others what you're not willing to do yourself. I think I've used a lot of your words in saying that, but then again, you're in my head, so maybe that's just why. Is there anything else you'd like to say to Cloverdale Baptist, a church that you have served so faithfully with such love and humility and commitment?
I think I'd wrap up with Psalm 18:30. As for God, His way is perfect. And it's taken a lifetime for me to really, truly appreciate and understand that. He is perfect in every way. And when He leads His people, there's no better place to be.
I so appreciate you. I appreciate what you've shared today. You're one of the best leaders I know, and it's a privilege to be on your team, a privilege to be on God's team at Cloverdale Baptist, and learn from you how to accomplish mission and so many other things. Thank you for being a servant of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And let me say ahead of Him, well done, good and faithful servant.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us on this podcast.